Yep.
Okay. I'd like to call the July 28th meeting of the Board of Adjustment to order. And I'd like to thank everybody for taking the time to join us this afternoon in these very unprecedented times. This meeting is taking place online to comply with the ongoing social distancing requirements and ensure the community's ability to participate. Ms. Ancona, may I please have a roll call?
Chair Dankworth?
Present.
Vice Chair Roach?
Here.
Member Perkins?
Present.
Member Barcelo?
Here.
And Member Murphy? No, she was on the call.
Say it again, maybe.
Member Murphy?
She's. She's only has video.
Okay, let the record show we have a quorum.
Thank you. Will you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you again for everyone joining us remotely. Clearly, the mechanics of today's meeting are going to be a bit different than our regular in-person meetings. We still maintain the regular flow or order of business, so the meeting format will remain unchanged. In order to participate, one must be logged into Zoom directly by computer or telephone. For those who are unfamiliar with the Zoom software, I'd like to provide a quick primer on how to participate. Everyone's microphone, other than myself, Mr. Joe Andrews from our legal department, and our planning staff meeting host, Mr. Spaeth, will be muted throughout the meeting to ensure as smooth and efficient a meeting as possible. Only Mr. Spaeth can turn on your microphone at the appropriate time if you'd like to ask a question or provide comments. I will do my best to let everybody know when it's appropriate to, in quotes, raise your hand for a particular agenda item. If you wish to address the board on any agenda item or during the call to audience, please raise your hand only when I announce that it's appropriate to do so. There are two ways to do this. For those participating on any platform other than by phone, find and select the participants icon. Now, this will open a dialogue box that lists all participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name and select your name. Once your name is selected, a second box will pop up where you have the option to raise your hand. For those participating via phone, press *9 to raise your hand. Please wait to raise your hand until the appropriate agenda item has been announced and after I announce the opportunity to do so. Otherwise, we will not be able to discern which topic it is that you wish to address in relation to the agenda, etc. Our aim is to proceed in a timely and efficient manner. Once your hand is raised, Mr. Spaeth will be alerted to your request to speak. This applies to both audience and board members. So please raise your hand if you have a question or comment after I announce the appropriate time to do so. At that appropriate time, I will ask Mr. Spaeth if there are any hands raised to provide questions or comments. I will then announce your name and Mr. Spaeth will unmute your access so that you may speak. Please make sure you are not also muted on your personal device. Please review the meeting agenda so that you know the item on which you'd like to speak. Please don't raise your hand until we have made it to that item on the agenda. As with all the board meetings, please state clearly your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. Also, speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. A timer will be used as with in-person meetings, and we ask that you respect the 3-minute limit. May we have, at this point, I believe, Are we going to go into executive session at this point, Mr. Andrews?
Yes, Chair Dankworth. This is the point where you vote to decide whether or not you want to go into executive session.
Okay. Thank you. May I have a motion to go into executive session, please? I do not hear from anybody else. I cannot hear, and I don't have the pictures of anybody
else. Member Barcello raised his hand, Chair Dankworth.
Madam Chair, I'll make the motion that we go into executive session.
Thank you. May I have a second, please?
Member Roach has his hand up.
I'd like to second the motion.
I thank you for that. We have a motion and a second. We will now go into executive session. No, let us vote to go into executive session. All those in favor?
Aye. Barcello?
Aye. Roach?
Ms. Murphy?
Chair Dankworth, can I just politely ask, can we have Ms. Ancona do a roll call vote, please?
Okay.
Chair Dankworth?
Yes.
Vice Chair Roach?
Yes.
Member Perkins?
Currently muted.
Member Barcello?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Member Perkins?
Yes.
And Member Murphy?
Geez, I saw her call in. I'm not sure which number is hers, though. So, yes, okay, there we go. So she's the 0241. So go ahead, Gina.
Yes.
Oh, Member Murphy?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
50.
Just everybody leave this meeting and go to the executive session meeting.
Yes.
You have to tell them who else is coming, Allie.
Right. So, Chair Dankworth, would you mind reading that list that I sent you earlier? And then also, just for the other folks who are attended the meeting, let them know that we will be back for the regular session at 3 o'clock.
Okay. Attending the executive session will be Mr. Spaeth, Mr. Andrews, Ms. Ancona, and Ms. Sims. Thank you very much. And let us now all go into executive session. Mr. Spaeth, for the record, I am not getting any of the video up of the different.
Yep. We will turn those on for you.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I'd like to call the July 28th meeting of the Board of Adjustment to order and thank everyone for taking the time to join us this afternoon in these unprecedented times. This meeting is taking place online to comply with the ongoing social distancing requirements and ensure the community's ability to participate. Ms. Ancona, may I please have a roll call? I cannot hear.
Sorry, Chair Dankworth?
Present.
Vice Chair Roach? I think they're muted.
Here.
Okay. Member Perkins?
Present.
Member Barcello?
Here.
And Member Murphy? Okay. I see her. Okay, Member Murphy is present. Let the record show we have a quorum.
Thank you. Will you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you and welcome. Thank you again for joining us remotely. Only the clearly the mechanics of today's meetings are going to be a bit different from our regular in-person meetings. We still maintain the regular flow of order for business, so the meeting format will remain unchanged. In order to participate, one must be logged into Zoom directly by computer or telephone. For those who are unfamiliar with the Zoom software, I'd like to provide a quick primer on how to participate. Everyone's microphone other than myself, Mr. Joe Andrews from our legal department, and our planning staff meeting host, Mr. Spaeth, will be muted throughout the meeting and to ensure as smooth and efficient meeting as possible. Only Mr. Spaeth can turn on your microphone at the appropriate time. If you'd like to ask a question or provide comments, I will do my best to let everybody know when it is appropriate to raise your hand for a particular agenda item. If you wish to address the board on any agenda item or during the call to audience, please raise your hand only when I announce it's appropriate to do so. There are two ways to do this. For those participating on any platform other than by phone, find and select the participants icon. This will open a dialog box that lists all participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name and select your name. Once your name is selected, a second box will pop up where you have the option to raise your hand. For those participating via phone, press star 9 to raise your hand. Please wait to raise your hand until the appropriate agenda item has been announced and after I announce the opportunity to do so. Otherwise, we will not be able to discern which topic it is that you wish to address in relation to the agenda. Our aim is to proceed in a timely and efficient manner. Once your hand is raised, Mr. Spaeth will be alerted to your request to speak. This applies to both the audience and board members, so please raise your hand if you have a question or comment after I announce the appropriate time to do so. At that appropriate time, I will ask Mr. Spaeth if there are any hands raised to provide questions or comments. I will then announce your name, and Mr. Spaeth will unmute your access so that you may speak. Please make sure you are not also muted on your personal device. Please review the meeting agenda so that you know the item on which you'd like to speak. Please don't raise your hand until we have made it to that item on the agenda. As with all board meetings, please clearly state your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. Also, speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. A timer will be used as with in-person meetings, and we ask that you respect the 3-minute limit. Call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the board on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual board members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the meeting be placed on, that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the board may not discuss matters raised during your call to the audience. If you wish to address the board on a matter not on the agenda, please notify us by clicking the raise your hand icon on your computer or pressing star 9 on your phone now. Not seeing that anybody would like to raise a question or comment, we will go on. I am now closing call to the audience. I'd like to recognize people in attendance, specifically our staff, Ms. Sims, Ms. Oden, Mr. Spaeth, Mr. Andrews. Are there any comments now from the council liaison? Mr. Solomon. Is Mr. Solomon there?
Chair Dankworth, I do yes. not see council member Solomon. I do see Mayor Winfield.
I'm not sure
if he is here to cover, or we can ask him to unmute if you would like.
I would like to do that, and will you do that for me?
Yes, so Mayor Winfield is unmuted.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Winfield, would you like to address the board?
Thank you, Chair Dankworth. I'm simply listening to the Board of Adjustments, so I have no comments. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for attending. We hope you enjoy the session. We're now going to have an agenda item review. We will proceed as listed on the agenda. Ms. Akana, will you please read item number one? Ms. Akana?
Yes, sorry, I was muted. Review and approval of the May 26, 2020 regular session meeting minutes.
Thank you. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes? Board members, all of you, I can see you on the screen.
Yes.
Nod your head or raise your hands, if you will. Thank you. May I have a motion to accept the minutes? May I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes, Chair Dankworth. Yes. Member Roach has raised his hand.
Okay, Member Roach, you have a comment?
I move to accept the minutes.
Thank you. May I have a second? May I have a second to accept the minutes?
It looks like Member Murphy has raised her hand.
Thank you very much. All those in favor of accepting the minutes, please acknowledge. Yeah, I see a thumbs up. Okay.
Chair Dankworth, would you mind if we had Ms. Ancona do a roll call vote?
By all means.
Please.
Okay. Chair Dankworth?
Yes.
Vice Chair Roach?
Yes.
Member Perkins?
Yes.
Member Barcelo? Member Murphy?
Bear with me.
That's okay.
Yes.
Okay. And Member Barcelo?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0.
The minutes are accepted. Mr. Spaeth, would you proceed, please, with the applicant presentation?
I'm going to go ahead and read agenda item two first. Public hearing request for variance to construct a detached accessory structure in the front yard of a property located at 10971 North Poinsettia Drive, 200517.
Chair Dankworth, Hannah Odin with the town's planning department is here to give the staff presentation.
Thank you.
Let me just get the presentation up here. All right, Ms. Odin, please proceed.
All right, good afternoon, Chair Dankworth, members of the board. Can everyone hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, great, thank you. My name is Hannah Odin, and I am a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley. Mr. Spaeth, I believe this is for the second agenda item.
Thank you. Well, we'll have to do it this way. Go ahead, Ms. Odin.
All right, thank you, Mr. Spaeth. Again, my name is Hannah Odin, and I'm a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley. All right, next slide, please. The purpose of this case is to review a variance request to construct a detached accessory structure in the front yard of an existing home. In order for a variance request to be approved, 5 specific findings must be satisfied per state law and the zoning code. It is up to the Board of Adjustment to determine if variance requests meet these findings. During this presentation, I'll review the required 5 findings for a variance and provide a staff recommendation. I do want to mention to the board that the property owner has I do want to mention to the board that the property owner had the same application considered by the Board of Adjustment previously in May of this year. The applicant has not revised their application, but new information has been provided that warranted the request to be considered as a completely new case today. Great, next slide, please. So to orient ourselves, the subject property, which is outlined in yellow on this slide, is located within the Monte Del Oro single family residential subdivision, which is shown and outlined in blue. And the subject property is zoned as R1-43. It is approximately 1.4 acres and is located off Poinsettia Drive. The Kenyatta Hills Golf Course is to the west, as well as La Kenyatta Drive. Town Hall is located to the northwest, and Naranja Drive is located to the north. Okay, next slide, please. As previously mentioned, the subject property is located within a single-family residential zoning district, R1-43. This zoning district does not permit detached accessory structures in the front yard, which refers to anything in front of the main home. Due to special circumstances applying to the property and the lack of another location, the applicant is requesting a variance to build an approximately 1,500 square foot detached accessory structure in the front yard of their property that will be used as a garage. This slide shows the property outlined in yellow. The existing home with an attached garage is shown in green, and the proposed detached accessory structure is shown in blue. The existing driveway from Poinsettia Drive is long and narrow and comes up a steep slope to a turnaround area. Next slide, please. As always, each variance request must demonstrate how all five findings of the zoning code are met for approval. In this case, staff finds that the request meets all five findings. I will discuss each in the order that they appear in the staff report. Next slide, please. The first criteria for a variance is if special circumstances apply to the property. A special circumstance, as determined by state law, means that the property itself must be unique in its topography, shape, location, surroundings, or size in such a way that would deprive the property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. The special circumstances applying to the property in this case are topography and lot shape. The home is located at the top of a steep slope and has been placed at the highest and flattest part of the lot. Significant slopes exist behind the home and up towards the house. The proposed detached accessory structure location, which is shown by a yellow star on this slide, is the only suitable location on the lot for the structure, as it is a flatter area among the slopes. The lot is also long and narrow. Topography has caused the placement of the home to be on the flattest part of the lot, but due to the lot shape, there is no opportunity for a detached accessory structure in the side yards of the home due to setback constraints. There is also a leach field on the north side of the home, shown with the blue star, that must remain unobstructed. Okay, next slide, please. The image on this slide shows the existing driveway that follows a steep slope up towards the existing home. The proposed garage location is to the right of the existing driveway, shown with the yellow star. Other homes in the neighborhood are located on flatter and wider lots with more opportunities to construct a detached accessory structure in the rear or side yard as permitted by the zoning code. On the subject property, the proposed location is the only location for a detached accessory structure. Staff finds that the special circumstances do apply to this property and that this finding has been met. Next slide, please. The next finding is that the request must demonstrate that the special circumstances necessitating the need for a variance from the first finding were not created by the property owner. In this case, the applicant did not create the lot topography or lot shape that caused the need for a variance request. The structure was placed on a specific place on the lot, or the home was placed on a specific place on the lot due to topography constraints, and the shape of the lot severely limits any buildable area in 5 yards. Because of this, this finding has been met. Okay, next slide, please. The next criteria is that the variance request constitutes a substantial property right. Detached accessory structures are not uncommon in the Monte del Oro neighborhood or in R1-43 zoning districts. This slide shows other homes in the neighborhood with detached accessory structures. Again, because there's only one location for a detached accessory structure on the property, as described in the previous slides, and because the request to construct a detached accessory structure is not unusual for the neighborhood or zoning district, this finding has been met. Okay, next slide, please. The next finding is that the request grants a special privilege that is inconsistent with other properties in the same zoning district. A number of lots in the Monte del Oro subdivision have detached accessory structures on the property. While nearly all of these are in the rear or side yard, the unique circumstances that apply to this lot make the proposed location for the detached accessory structure the only option on the property. Detached accessory structures are not unusual in the zoning district and do not grant a special privilege. However, the request is subject to conditions to limit potential negative impacts to the surrounding area. Staff is recommending the conditions of approval in Attachment 1 of your packets. These conditions place a height restriction of 12 feet on the structure, restrict roof mounted appurtenances, which includes antennas and mechanical equipment, provide vegetative screening along the north side of the proposed structure, and limit exterior and roof color to desert earth tones, which allows for the proposed building to match the existing home. In combination, all four of these proposed conditions ensure that views are protected and that the appearance of the proposed structure is reduced and mitigated for. In the last finding, which I will discuss in the next slide, I will talk about view impacts from the neighbor and the street. Staff finds that with the recommended conditions of approval in Attachment 1 of your packets, that this finding has been met. Next slide, please. Lastly, we look at the next finding if the proposal would be detrimental to the neighborhood. The difference in topography between the neighbor to the north will result in minimal to no view impacts. The proposed detached accessory structure location sits much lower with the difference in topography of approximately 24 feet. The proposed height of the garage is 12 feet. This slide shows a view of the proposed garage location facing the neighbor to the north. The proposed location is also set back approximately 100 feet and will have minimal to no view impacts from Poinsettia Drive, which I will show in the next slide. If the variance request is approved, the applicant will be required to submit a drainage statement due by the town. This is to ensure the proposed structure will have no adverse drainage effects. The property owner has also received approval from the Monte del Oro Homeowners Association. Okay, next slide, please. This slide shows the view from Poinsettia Drive. The proposed structure will sit lower than the existing homes and will be unobtrusive from the street. The recommended conditions of approval in Attachment 1 will further limit any potential negative impacts to the surrounding area. Staff finds that with these recommended conditions, that this finding has been met. Okay, next slide, please. In summary, staff finds the request meets the five findings and recommends conditional approval subject to the conditions in Attachment 1, which are meant to preserve views. This concludes my presentation, and the applicant is here today with a presentation of their own to provide additional details about the request. Thank you.
Thank you very much. May we have the applicant presentation, please? Would the applicant please state that they are residents of Oro Valley? Is the applicant attending the meeting?
Chair Dankworth, they are here. I think we're just trying to figure out how to get them unmuted. Just one moment.
Thank you.
Yep. Chair Dankworth, it seems to keep sending them on to mute. Ms. Strait, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Mr. West is going to give the presentation, and I'm assuming that he's still muted.
Okay.
Can I be heard now?
Mr. West, we can hear you. Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And I want to thank the board for effectively rehearing this matter. I realize we had some problems with the last meeting and the record of it. And the planning staff has also cooperated tremendously in the last several months. And I want to thank Hannah Oden and Bear Vella in particular for their extra effort in reaching accommodations on this reapplication. So we've already discussed, I think, at great length in the last go-round the particulars. We certainly agree with the analysis made by the planning staff. There's a couple of matters that I do want to touch briefly on. One of them, with making reference to page one of our submission, because of the problems with the record on the last meeting, our brief, which was entitled Applicants Rebuttal to Report and Recommendations of the Oro Valley Planning Staff, was not made of record. And I would request that it be made of record now. It's an attachment to my submission as attachment A. And the rebuttal brief was relied upon in my last submission. And it was also evidentiary. It had several photographs. It had references to the Oro Valley zoning code, and it also had reference to the enabling statute provided by Arizona revised statutes. And for that reason, I would, I think it's very material to our overall presentation. The second reason I think it needs to be made of record is a public notice function. And while we have looked at past meetings of the board going back 5 to 10 years, I would hope that the same kind of consideration might be given, and, you know, to current proceedings, and provide a guide to applicants in the future, as the proceedings in the past were a guide to us to figure out whether or not they should even apply in the first place. And secondly, if they did apply, to present the kind of case that would be useful and helpful to the board to make its decision. And there was a specific request pertinent to the last hearing, where we also at the end asked that it be made of record. So I will ask once again that our submission that we made in the last hearing be made of record and part of our submission for consideration. The five factors that Ms. Oden discussed, we're in agreement with her presentation. We also have made our own submission previously in support of finding that all five factors were satisfied. The only thing that's different in our presentation today, and that's different in terms of the conditions that the staff worked out, has to do with factor four. Factor four reads as follows: that any variance granted imposes such conditions as will assure that the authorizing of the adjustment shall not constitute a grant of special privileges inconsistent with the limitations upon other properties in the vicinity and zone in which such property is located. Cutting through the chase, what we added at the end of our presentation, this is on page three, if you could kindly advance the presentation to our visual presentation to page three. Okay. In the middle, you'll note under special factor four, last paragraph, applicant further agrees with the conditions of approval contained in attachment one of the planning staff's current report. And those conditions, which pertain to the appearance and shielding and roof-mounted structures, et cetera, we do agree to, and that was not even up for consideration or condition as far as the last staff report, and now it is, and we agree with all of those conditions. So in closing, again, we concur with the staff's recommendations and believe we have satisfied in our presentation and by the evidence of record that all five requirements required for the variance have been satisfied, and we ask the board for a motion in our favor. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation, Mr. West. At this time, are there any comments or questions of either staff or Mr. West from the board? And I cannot see the individual board members right now, so somebody's going to have to intervene and let me know if somebody has a question. I see Mr. Roach. That's all I see right now.
Chair Dankworth, at the top of your screen, you might have an option to click on gallery view.
Yes, I have that.
Make sure that's selected. There you go.
Okay, I have a few more members now. Yes, I still do not have Ms. Murphy, though.
Asking her to turn on her video now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, to ask again, and let's break this up into two parts, please. Does any Mets board member have a question of staff at this point? Not seeing any raised hands. Does any board member have a question of Mr. West, the applicant? Again, not seeing any raised hands, I have to conclude that there are no questions by the board of either staff or the applicant. Not seeing anything to the contrary. Let's go on from there to the public comments. At this point, I'd like to now open the public hearing, and not having a gavel, I will simply state that. I'd like to now open the public hearing. Are there any questions or comment? Only if you are accessing this meeting via Zoom, please click raise your hand or dial *9 on your phone now. Mr. Spaeth, please go to the first person who raised their hand, who is, I can't see it, so you'll have to identify that person, and unmute. I would like to remind the speaker to first clearly state your name and whether or not you're an Oro Valley resident. May we proceed, please?
Yes, Chair Dankworth. I believe there was a, I don't have any raised hands. Oh, I do actually, I take that back. So someone with the name Peter's iPad, I'm gonna unmute you now. Peter's iPad, please go ahead.
Am I unmuted?
You are, sir.
Oh, great, terrific. My name is Peter Wong. We are neighbors to the direct north of Mr. West and Ms. Strait. And I just want to thank the staff, particularly Hannah Oden, for her diligence in keeping me informed of this variance request. I appreciate the conditions that have been placed on the variance approval. And I believe that if the garage is constructed as proposed, that our views won't be obstructed. And that the vegetative screening will block the view of the driveway and anything in the driveway from our property, and that's also appreciated. So I just want to again say thank you to everyone, and Mr. Strait and Ms. Mr. West and Ms. Strait. We appreciate your concurrence with the staff conditions. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. Mr. Spaeth, is there anyone else that you can see who would like to take part?
Chair Dankworth, I do not see any other hands raised.
Okay, there being no one else, I'd like to now to open it for member discussion only. Members, please raise your hand now if you wish to be heard. I will call for a motion at a later time. Are there any questions or comments at this time? Seeing none, hearing none, may I have a motion, please? May I have a motion, please?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'll make the motion that we accept the recommendations by staff and approve the variance with the conditions in attachment number one.
Thank you, Member Barcelo. May I have a second, please?
And Member Roach has his hand raised.
Yes, I second the motion.
Thank you, Member Roach. Are there any questions or comments again from staff at this point? All right, may we have a roll call vote, please, Ms. O'Connor?
Chair Dankworth?
Yes.
Vice Chair Roach?
Yes.
Member Perkins?
Yes.
Member Barcelo?
Yes.
And Member Murphy?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much, everybody. The variance is granted. And now, may we go on, please, to the next item on the agenda, Ms. O'Connor.
Public hearing, excuse me, request for a variance to reduce a front yard setback for an attached garage located at 525 West Gulf View Drive, 2001494.
Hey, Chair Dankworth, thank you again. Ms. Oden, Senior Planner with the Town's Planning Department, is set to give this presentation as well.
Thank you.
And Ms. Oden, let me make sure you're unmuted.
There we go.
Okay, please proceed.
All right, thank you, Mr. Spaeth. Thank you, Chair Dankworth and members of the board. Again, my name is Hannah Oden, and I'm a Senior Planner with the Town of Oro Valley. Next slide, please. The purpose of this case is to review a variance request to encroach into a front yard building setback by 2.5 feet to build an attached garage. In order for a variance request to be approved, 5 specific findings must be satisfied per state law and the zoning code. It is up to the Board of Adjustment to determine if variance requests meet these findings. During this presentation, I'll review the required 5 findings for a variance and provide a staff recommendation. Next slide, please. So to orient ourselves, the subject property is located within the Oro Valley Country Club Estates subdivision and is shown by a yellow star on this slide. Lambert Lane and the Canyon del Oro Wash are to the north, and Oracle Road is located to the east. The subject property is approximately 38,000 square feet and is zoned as single-family residential R1-36. It is also located off Gulf View Drive. As previously mentioned, the subject property is located within a single-family residential zoning district, R1-36. The required front yard building setback is 30 feet, as shown by the blue line on this slide. The applicant is proposing encroaching into this building setback by 2.5 feet, reducing their front yard building setback to 27.5 feet, to construct an attached garage within a similar footprint as the existing carport and privacy fence, as shown by the orange box on this slide. The existing carport is deteriorating, and the applicant wishes to replace it with an attached garage. The proposed interior garage wall will be built approximately 5 feet from the main wall of the home to preserve the historic significance of the home. I also want to mention that the property is subject to an HOA enforced 50-foot setback from the golf course, and this is shown by the red dashed line on the slide. The property owner has received permission from the Homeowners Association to encroach into the setback by 5 feet. Again, this setback is enforced by the HOA and is not a town requirement. The home was built in 1959 by a famous local architect, Thomas Gist, and the applicant has designed the garage to preserve and reflect the historic character of the home. Next slide, please. This slide shows a view of the existing carport. The wall to be preserved is shown circled in yellow, and the proposed setback encroachment for the exterior garage wall is shown approximately where the red line is. The proposed setback reduction would bring the wall of the garage closer to Gulf View Drive. Again, the applicant is proposing to build the garage approximately 5 feet from the main wall of the home to preserve its historic character, and this would create a covered breezeway. Okay, next slide, please. As always, each variance request must demonstrate how all 5 findings of the zoning code are met for approval. In this case, staff finds that the request does not meet 3 of the 5 findings. I will discuss each finding in the order that they appear in the staff report. Next slide, please. The first criteria for a variance is if special circumstances apply to the property. A special circumstance, as determined by state law, means that the property itself must be unique in its topography, shape, location, surroundings, or size in such a way that would deprive the property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. The subject property is located in a flat area with virtually no slopes or topography that would create a special circumstance necessitating the need for a variance, as shown on this slide. The topography was not an influencing factor for the placement of the home. And there are also no unique circumstances in terms of the size, shape, location, and surroundings of the property that do not apply to other parcels in the neighborhood and zoning district. I want to emphasize that special circumstances in this case do not apply to the historic character of the home, as this is unrelated to the property itself. And again, the placement of the home was not influenced by special circumstances applying to the property, such as lot shape or topography. So where the home was placed is not a qualifying special circumstance either. Because of these factors, staff finds that this finding has not been met. Next slide, please. The next finding is if the special circumstances from the first finding were created by the property owner. As discussed previously, no special circumstances apply to the property in terms of its size, shape, topography, location, or surroundings. Additionally, the home was not placed at its current location due to unique circumstances applying to the property, such as topography or lot shape. Because of the home placement closer to the front property line, the property owner is requesting a variance. The placement of the home is a self-imposed condition created by the property owner. Even though they purchased the lot with the home already built, this was done with the knowledge of the placement of the home and setback constraints. Because the placement of the home was not due to unique circumstances applying to the property, as discussed in the first finding, this can be considered a self-imposed condition. For these reasons, staff finds that this finding has not been met. Next slide, please. The next criteria is if the variance request is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights. Garages, both attached and detached, are not unusual or uncommon in this neighborhood or zoning district. However, opportunities exist to construct an attached garage within the building setback. As detailed in the staff report, the proposed garage could be moved 2.5 feet closer to the existing home to meet the building setbacks. While this would eliminate a functional breezeway, the wall of the home would be preserved, retaining its historic value. Alternative building configurations, such as moving the garage door to face Gulf View Drive, could also bring the proposed addition within the permitted building setbacks. This would involve a driveway reconfiguration, but could be a way to comply with the allowed setbacks and preserve the main wall of the home. Next, while it would be inconvenient and bring the garage further from the main home, there is ample room in the rear yard for a detached garage, as shown on this slide with the yellow star. There are no limiting topography constraints, and a detached garage located in the rear yard would be able to comply with all building setbacks. Similarly, the garage could be placed or extended into the side yard to the north of the home and meet setbacks compliant with the zoning code. Again, the town does not enforce the 50-foot HOA golf course setback. Lastly, while it would not achieve an enclosed garage, the applicant could rebuild or restore the rotting carport within the existing footprint, which would still retain the historic character of the home. Next slide, please. This slide shows the wall of the main home that the applicant wants to remain untouched to preserve its historic value, which is circled in yellow. Again, by moving the garage closer by 2.5 feet, the addition would be able to meet the front yard building setback and preserve the historic character of the home. Staff wants to emphasize that these are all measures that would retain the historic value of the building by keeping the main wall of the home intact. While some of the proposed options may not be indicative of just designs, they would all preserve the main structure. Staff wants to help the applicant comply with zoning code requirements and be sensitive to the historic character of the home. While garages are not unusual in this neighborhood or zoning district, the fact that there are options to reconfigure the design of the garage or place it elsewhere on the property to meet building setbacks makes the proposed encroachment not necessary for the enjoyment of substantial property rights and does not deprive the property of privileges enjoyed by other properties. Staff finds that this finding has not been met. Next slide, please. The next finding is if the granting of the request would constitute special privileges. This finding is meant to apply to conditions, if necessary, to variance requests to ensure no special privileges are granted that are inconsistent with surrounding properties. Attached garages are not unusual in this subdivision or zoning district. This slide shows an attached garage down the street from the subject property. However, the request is to bring the garage into the front yard building setback and closer to Gulf View Drive than what is currently allowed by the zoning code. If the board chooses to approve this variance request, an appropriate condition of approval to consider would be for the applicant to provide additional vegetative screening between the garage wall and Gulf View Drive, as approved by the Planning and Zoning Administrator. This is a reasonable condition because the building will be brought closer to the streetscape and vegetative screening will ensure that no special privilege is granted. Because this variance request is subject to conditions that would ensure that no special privileges are granted that are inconsistent with other properties in the neighborhood or zoning district, this finding has been met. Okay, next slide, please. Lastly, we look at the next finding, if the proposal would be detrimental to the neighborhood. The proposed garage will be within a similar footprint as the existing carport and privacy fence, as shown on this slide. The applicant has been thoughtful regarding the design of the garage and materials so that it will match the existing home. Due to the curve of Gulfview Drive at this location, the proposed garage would not cause any site visibility issues. Lastly, as mentioned in the previous finding, the request would be subject to conditions if approved, such as additional landscaping or vegetative screening to limit any potential negative impacts to the surrounding area. Because of these factors, staff has found that this request is not detrimental to the surrounding area and that this finding has been met. Next slide, please. In summary, there is ample opportunity for the proposed garage to comply with building setbacks and preserve the historic integrity of the home. Staff finds the request does not meet the five findings of the zoning code and state law and recommends denial. Now, this concludes my presentation, and the applicant is here today with a presentation of their own to provide additional details about their request. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the staff presentation. Mr. Spaeth, may we continue with the applicant presentation?
Yes. Chair Dankworth, Tracy Alexander is here and should be unmuted. Please go ahead if you're ready.
Hello, this is Tracy.
We can hear you.
Okay. Well, I'd like to first of all say thank you to the commissioners for their time today. I'd like to thank
I'm going to interrupt for a moment. Would you please state that you are a resident of Oro Valley?
Apologies. My name is Tracy Alexander, and I am a resident of Oro Valley.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you to John Murto, our architect, with Mr. Murto McDonald for joining us today, and to everyone else on the call, my friends and neighbors who are here to show support for us. Just a little background. We purchased our Thomas Gibbs. Sorry, my phone is ringing. Next slide, please. Thank you. We purchased our Thomas Gibbs home in February of last year. It was built in 1959 and it's located on the 18th fairway of the Oro Valley Country Club Estates, which Country Club Golf Course, which also opened in 1959. The Town of Oro Valley's Historic Preservation Commission had worked with the previous owner of this home to begin the process of putting it on the local historic registry, and when we bought the home, we continued with that process. We've met with Lynn Ann Dellerman and the Historic Preservation Commission about our desire and need to replace the carport with an enclosed garage, but still maintain the historical integrity of the property. We hired John Murto, a historic preservation architect of Costa Murto McDonald, to design a garage to complement the historical structure and conformance with the Secretary of the Interior's standards as it relates to additions and changes to historic properties to help make it compatible but different. Upon submitting a building permit for starting the garage, we were denied the permit due to the structure encroaching into the required setback. And that's how we ended up in front of the board today. Next slide, please. So a little bit about Thomas Gist and why this home is so special. He was a custom home builder in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and he designed homes with burnt adobe bricks, window walls that face the Catalina Mountains, and the overhanging eaves and soiled concrete. And he was kind of in the style of Frank Lloyd Wright type of architect. He has about over 170 homes Tucson area, some of which are actually listed on the National Registry of Historic Places. Next slide, please. This home, along with others in the Tucson area, is currently under consideration to be part of the National Register Multiple Property Documentation Forum, which groups thematic-related properties and preserves their history or the that's currently in the works at the state level, and this home is included on that list. Next slide, please. So the purpose of our variance request is to preserve our 1959 guest home by obtaining a 2.5-foot variance to the front setback of our property to replace our court, which is rotting, with an enclosed garage. Our goal is to set the garage in the footprint of the carport and the half wall, the privacy brick wall that's currently standing there now. Next slide, please. This is an overview of the site plan with the drawing of the garage. And I apologize for how small it is, but what I'm trying to show with this slide is that the front wall of the garage would actually basically sit in the footprint of the carport and the privacy wall that you saw a picture of in the previous presentation. So what we're asking for, instead of a 30-foot setback from the easement line, we're asking for 27.5 feet, which would put it, instead of 45 feet from the road, 42.5 feet from the road. So it's still a fair distance from the edge of the road. And since the road curves away in both directions, it wouldn't cause any sight line views for the traffic. Next slide, please. This is a bit more close-up detail showing some drawings of the setback lines of how we're moving into the setback a little bit, where the green lines are, the road, the easement, and the setback of 30 feet. And then the bottom right shows the dimensions of the garage and the encroachment into the setback. Next slide, please. This is an architectural design statement from John Murto, where he has highlighted the characteristics of this property and how the design of the garage that he made for us incorporates the essential elements of the garage so that they complement the guest home. In some of these, the design approach is to retain and preserve a historic fabric and character by using similar construction and materials. Avoid a false sense of the historic development, which is to make it complementary but different, and which is why we want to build it off of the home and have that breeze over there, make it separate from the structure. Additionally, building it off the home would help mitigate risk, complexity, and expense, and not having to do tie-ins and investigations that would possibly damage the historic home itself. He made the design compatible with the carport by putting in a breezeway and the overhanging eaves so that it looks very similar to what's already there currently. And it also provides access and function by putting the garage in this place of the carport and not in the back or on the side where accessibility would be a problem. And also, moving it forward off of the house, it would help preserve the planter box that is on the opposite end of the home that runs along about 3/4 of the front. Which would possibly be in the way if we had to drive through into the wall of the house in order to access a vehicle getting into the garage. Next slide, please. This is an architectural rendering that John Murto created to show what the attached at the roofline garage would look like, what the door is facing, the way the carport is facing right now. This is a design style of Thomas Gist. He did not design garage doors that faced the road, but that faced perpendicular to the house. And the garage doors would be made of glass. We have the same bunch of adobe bricks, and also there'll be curtain windows as well. Next slide, please. This is just an example of how the roof lines will be tied together. It will allow for drainage, and also it complies with the zoning code that buildings in front of main homes need to be attached in some way. This accomplishes that as well. Next slide. Thank you. We did get approval from the HOA Architectural Review Committee to encroach 5 feet into the 50-foot setback to the golf course. And that's, this letter is showing that approval. Next slide. I did explore the option of building the garage completely on the side of the house on the golf course side, and that was denied by the HOA Architectural Review Committee because it would require much too great of a variance into the golf course setback. So that was denied. And this is just a, oh, next slide, please. This is just a, an excerpt of the CC&Rs that we are governed by in the HOA, showing what kind of variances are and are not allowed and showing a 50-foot setback. We're also, we also have a 50-foot setback in the back of the property because our property is located on both sides and rear by the golf course. Next slide. This is an overhead view of our property, just showing that if we put the garage on the right-hand side, which would be the bottom part of that picture, there's not enough space between the house next to us and our house. If we did locate it on the golf course side, which would be the top part of that picture, that's the thing that was denied by the HOA because it would be too large of a setback variance. And putting it in the back, this is picture on the bottom right is a view from the backyard and from all of the windows that line the whole entire back wall of the home. And putting a garage here just doesn't make any sense from a view perspective. It would block the mountains right there. And from resale value, real estate-wise, it would not make sense. It would locate the garage 150 feet from any entrance. There's no gate access into the backyard from the original burnt adobe walled-in yard, so we'd be walking all the way around to the front. Additionally, we do have a 50-foot setback on the side and the rear. Our septic leach field is back there, and there is a small arroyo that runs through the corner as well. So we do not believe there is ample room back there. Additionally, there'd be extreme amount of vegetation that would have to be removed, including two giant pistachio trees, in order to even put a driveway to access that area. It just is unreasonable and illogical. Most importantly, Thomas Gist would never put a garage back there. He built his homes to face the Catalina Mountains with walled windows, and he would never block that with a garage or any other structure. So for those reasons, we do not feel there's any other option opportunities to put a garage. Next slide, please. I used the measuring tool on the Pima Maps website. It has the 15-foot easement superimposed over the map. And I used that to measure the closest distance from the easement to the retaining of the privacy wall, and I came up with 26.5 feet. This is not a precise measurement, but our desire is to build the front wall of the garage as close as possible to that privacy wall. And you can see as we move backward toward the golf course, which would be toward the top of that picture, we would gain even more space, more distance between the black line and the 30-foot setback because it curves away at that point. So we would plan to start the garage about 10 feet to the golf course side further back, which would give us some more space. Next slide, please. This is a picture of the privacy wall, which we would like to turn into the front wall of the garage. This is a picture from the edge of the road. So the brick wall is, you can see that the lattice on top of it is rotting out and it needs to come down. It's falling down and has to be removed. Next slide, please. This is a view from the middle of the golf course drive road, just to show that a structure that's a garage instead of half wall with slatted wood lattice would not look a whole lot different from the view of the road. Next slide, please. This is an approach from the south, just showing that a garage replacing the carport and privacy wall would not restrict the view of traffic from the south. Next slide, please. Here's a view from the north approach, again showing that garage in place of the carport and privacy wall would not restrict traffic visibility. Next slide. This is examples of why we need to remove the carport. These beams are rotting out from front to back. It's the original carport with the original wood, and over time, rain and weather has just rotted the wood out. It's been repainted over, but it is a safety hazard, and we need to remove this part of the house. Next slide, please. This is a picture of the burnt adobe wall that we're trying to preserve, and it's more than just preserving the wall. It's designing the garage to be complementary to the GIST style. So yes, this wall is important to build away from, but it's more than just anything that's built away from the house. It needs to be thoughtfully designed, which is why we hired John Merchant. So we would start the garage about halfway down the wall of this of the home here, just to give you an idea. Slide, please. This slide is showing that in later years, as automobile ownership became mainstream, that Thomas Gist did start designing garages with his homes. His first choice was to put it at the end of the house, but when lots that aren't wide enough, for example, this one that we're on, he did build it in front of the home. He did place the entrance to the garage with the doors to 90 degrees. To the front of the house, not ever with doors facing the road. So for that reason alone, we would not consider putting the garage doors facing the house, facing the road. That's pointed out in the other presentation. Next slide, please. This slide shows other homes on our same street within probably 3 or 4 blocks. These homes all, I use the measuring tool to measure 30 feet from the easement. All of these homes appear to have been granted a variance to the 30-foot setback. They are of similar lot size and similar topography, so these homes do not appear to have needed the variance to the 30-foot setback for some type of topography reason. We're just asking for the same consideration that these homes received when they were built. These homes were built in the 70s. Our home was built in 59. The setback was already there at that time. So these homes would have been held to the same setback requirements. And we're just asking that we be given the same permission with these homes were given. For a lot of similar size and topography, shape and otherwise. Next slide, please. In addition to the encroachments of the homes I just showed you, there's other unusual zoning in the Moore Valley of the State's neighborhood. This is less than 3/4 mile from our property. Just for example, our property is located in the yellow area, which is what R136, the single family homes. The brown part here is zoned R6 for multiple family residents. There are no multiple family residents in this neighborhood. It's just odd that it's zoned this way. And the other odd thing is that some of these properties cross over both into yellow and brown zone. One of the homes sits on the property line between another home and itself, and their driveway is in the adjacent lot. The green area is zoned PAD, which I believe stands for Planned Area Development, and then I found another thing that says TZ5, which is also multi-purpose. So this has a 0 foot setback to the road, and again, some of these homes are built on lots that cross over between the green and the yellow zone. So my point here is just to point out that there's already unusual zoning ordinances in our same neighborhood, so granting us a 2.5 foot variance to the front setback is not unusual for the president's setting. Next slide, please. I mentioned at the beginning that I had been working with the Historic Preservation Commission. I've gotten two emails from Mike Wilson, who is a commissioner on the Historic Preservation Commission, giving us his support for what we're trying to do in order to preserve the Thomas Gibbs property that we own and keep it historic and to Next slide, please. This is another letter from Daniel Beal, who's also a commissioner on the Historic Preservation Commission. So I had presented him our desire to build a closed garage to the Historic Preservation Commission, and I do believe that they are on board with what we are trying to do. And remember that this is the commission that asked us and the previous owners to list this house on the local registry. So we would be so honored to be on that registry, one of the first private residences in the town to be on that list. Next slide, please. This is a letter from the University of Arizona Architectural College, and they did a project to preserve the legacy of Thomas Gibbs by cataloging and making an inventory of all the properties that he built, including this one, to assure that his buildings remain true to their original design and intent. And that's what this slide is showing. Next slide, please. And finally, Michael Fassett is the president of the Executive Committee for the Tucson Historic Preservation Commission. He actually lives in the Thomas Gibbs home, the one that's on the National Registry. He's in the process of finishing a book about Thomas Gibbs' life and the impact that he had on mid-century modern architecture, especially in the desert Southwest. My point to all of these slides is to show the board that we're not the only ones that consider this a special house and want it to be preserved. And so we feel obligated to do whatever we can to make this home livable for ourselves and yet preserve the historic nature and integrity of this house that is so beloved by so many people. Next slide, please. So I'm going to skip this summary because I do have a word presentation to talk about each of the criteria and how the slideshow that I just presented to you fits in and answers all of the criteria. So I'd like to skip the next two slides and just move to the narrative of the Word document. Can I do that, please? Okay, thank you. I won't reiterate everything I just said on the PowerPoint presentation. I will just refer back to it as I go through these questions. If you do want to refer back now or in the future, I did indicate the slide number in red. Again, the part that I'm talking about on this narrative is referenced in the slideshow. So criteria one, special circumstances or conditions applying to the property. I'd like to make a technical clarification and point out that the term property is understood to be real property, which legally is defined as land and anything growing, affixed to, built upon it, including man-made buildings and crops and also a pertinences. So when we consider this special circumstance applying to the property, we are talking about not just the land, but also the house upon it, because that is what the definition of property is. Additionally, the phrase including size, shape, topography, location, or surroundings is not meant, in our opinion, to be an all-inclusive list. It is not an exhaustive list of all of the conditions that may be special and circumstances that may be special. So we do not see that only including size, shape, topography, location, surroundings to be the only thing that should be considered. So with that in mind, in answering question or criteria one about the special circumstance, this property is special because this home is special and it needs to be preserved and maintained because Thomas Gibbs built it in 1959 in a thoughtful placement of this custom home designed and built just for this lot overlooking the 18th Green, or the 18th Fairway and the Bush Ridge Mountain View. Michael Fassett owns a Gibbs home. He's writing a book about the properties that Gibbs created. This house has been kept with, structurally intact with modern upgrades to 8-track plumbing, but the exterior and interior as well have been largely maintained, making it historically significant. So because this home is historic, our goal is to build an enclosed garage away from the front wall so we don't destroy or impact the historical significance. And we'd like to situate it approximately 5 feet off the home with the attached roof line. Next slide, please. I pointed out, I pointed out that this home is also in the process of being listed with the National Register Multiple Property Documentation Form to highlight his properties and the works that he created in the state of Arizona. Additionally, I talked about the College of Architecture being a project study to catalog the homes. And so for these reasons, we hired John Murto of Coaster to McDonald to design the garage and make it compatible but different with the original home. And the reason that he built or designed it the way it is to make it look similar but different. And that's why the garage doors face the side, that's why there's the breezeway, that's why it's built off of the house. And that's, and it, we think that it aesthetically looks beautiful. So in conclusion, this home is special and it is part of the property and we would like to preserve it for historical integrity by being granted 2.5 feet to build the garage away from the house and preserve the home so that it remains unaltered. Next slide, please. So question two, not created by the owner. So we did not build this home. We just are benefactors of owning it and living in it. And Gist was responsible for the special circumstance that this property is. And we appreciate that all the previous owners over the last 60 years saw the same value that we do and sought to preserve it and keep it historically intact and not altered in such a way that would make it no longer historic. Unfortunately, the carport, which is part of the original structure, is rotting and needs to come down. It's a safety hazard. So we did not create that situation either, but we do need to do something about it. We feel that replacing a carport with an enclosed garage is a reasonable expectation for the circumstance of a rotting carport that needs to be taken down. But also we feel it's reasonable to preserve the historic nature of this home by building it away from the house. So criteria three, necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights. I talked about how Thomas Gist did build garages in later years, but how the way that he designed them would not go in the back, and they would not have doors facing the road. So a garage built off the house would accomplish one aspect of preserving historic integrity, but additionally, the style of garage needs to be considered as well, and that's why the garage doors are located 90 degrees perpendicular to the front of the house. It's reasonable, in our opinion, to replace a carport that needs to come down with a closed garage to protect our cars from weather, vandalism, damage from rodents, pack rats, and such. Next slide, please. Most of the homes in this neighborhood do have enclosed garages. The one we're proposing is of modest size to hold two vehicles and a golf cart, designed in a style complementary to Gist architecture. I would like to point out that the footprint of the garage we're proposing is a little bit larger than a regular two-car garage width-wise, because we are building it out of original, authentic burnt adobe bricks, which are, I believe, 16 by 8 by 4. So they're quite large, and they are going to take up a lot of space width-wise. We're not going to build the structure with on top of the bricks. We're going to then, within that area, frame and drywall interior, and that's what will actually hold the structure together and roof on. So we do need a little bit larger footprint side to side, simply to accommodate the size of the bricks. In the slideshow, I pointed out why building it on the right or the left side would not meet setbacks for the city or for the HOA. Gist would not build a structure in the backyard that would block the views, and I believe that we've demonstrated that. It's just illogical to put a garage back there. You could not get back there without taking out a lot of vegetation. There's no gate access in the back. We'd be walking clear onto the front. It's at least 150 feet to the front of the house from the back. Additionally, we have a setback for the golf course on the rear and the side. There's an arroyo, and the septic tank leach field is back there. So for those reasons, mainly we block the view and just wouldn't do it, and the resale value of our home would be severely hit. We would not consider putting it back there, especially when we've presented the reasonable option. Number four. The adjustment shall not constitute a grant of special privilege. Next slide. The 2.5-foot variance into the front setback, I think we've shown you, we put it where the privacy wall and lattice wood structure is right now, would not make it look out of place. We've shown that there's other homes nearby that granted in some fashion a variance to the 3-foot setback. Those lots are of similar size, of similar topography, so they wouldn't have been given a special circumstance because of reasons like that. And then I pointed out the unusual zoning situation in the neighborhood, about 3/4 of a mile away, with those kind of strange zoning ordinances there. So we do not think that the 2.5-foot variance would have any special privilege not given to other homes on the same road or given the abnormal zoning laws that exist within the neighborhood. Number five, it will not be materially detrimental to persons residing in the city. We think we are going to add a better look to the house by replacing the rotting carport and the rotting slats above the privacy wall. The reason we have so many people here today is we have a lot of support in our friends and neighbors to do this. We think we would create an enhanced property with better curb appeal and I think people are excited and would be thrilled to have an historic property in the neighborhood. And we really want to make that happen. We are at great expense, actually, using burnt adobe bricks, ribbon windows, a glass garage door, in order to build this garage in the style of Gist that would make him proud and would make this house look, continue to look historic and show that it's compatible but different, but still a beautiful historic mid-century modern home. Next slide. So in summary, we have two goals for the 2.5 foot variance. They're both equally important. One is to replace the rotting carport and slats above the privacy wall with an enclosed garage to house our vehicles and keep them secure from damage from weather and vandalism or theft. The second goal, which is just as important, is to preserve the historic significance of this Thomas Gist home by building a garage away from the front wall in a complementary mid-century modern Gist style. So based on the answers and explanations I've given today, we're confident that each of these five criteria have been met. We believe this variance should be granted, and we encourage each of you board members to preserve history by approving this request. Thank you so much, and I think my husband might have a couple things to say.
So folks, thank you. Oh, Gene Alexander, and I'm a resident of Oral Valley. We greatly appreciate your time today. I'm not going to recap anything. We're really excited about you approving this for us so we can get this garage built, enhance the home, take care of the rotting problem. And again, we're asking for nothing special that's not already been done in the neighborhood. We also know that the measuring process is somewhat imperfect, which we believe the staff is well aware of. So there are homes that have been built in the last couple of years that actually are, because of the imperfect process of building, we're actually in the setback and development the last 5 years. So with that, we just look for and hope that you will approve our request today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Alexander, for your presentation. At this point, do any board members have questions? And I'm going to separate this into two parts as I did with agenda number, item number two. At this point, do any board members have questions for staff? Please raise your hands or let Mr. Spaeth know. There being no questions for staff, I'm going to go on. Do any board members have questions for the applicant? Not seeing or hearing any, I'm going to go on from there.
Chair Dankworth?
Yes.
Looks like Member Perkins has his.
Okay, Mr. Perkins, please. Mr. Perkins.
Okay, I'm off mute now. Question for the Alexanders. Were any location or design alternatives for the detached garage brought to you by Mr. Murto that both preserve your ability to gain historical significance and not encroach on the setbacks? Any alternatives at all?
Yeah, at this time, when we asked them to design it, there weren't any that he designed for us initially that stayed within those setbacks. Just because of the shape of the garage and the carport and the amount of space we need again for both vehicles and a golf cart, it was not presented to us to stay within the setbacks.
Okay, I understand.
Are there any other questions by any board members at this point of either staff or the Alexanders? Not seeing or hearing any, I'm going to proceed to opening up the public comments and hearing section. So I'd now like to open up the public hearing. Mr. Spaeth, are there any questions or comments?
Chair Dankworth, yes, we actually received a blue card prior to the meeting. Mr. Brian Davies wanted to speak. I'm checking to see the list here. If I don't see his name, though, I'm wondering if he might have been on a phone call. Let me go back and look to see if I can find his phone number. Meanwhile, we can proceed with Mr. Tim Bowen. His hand has been raised, so I'm going to go ahead and unmute Mr. Bowen.
Thank you.
Mr. Bowen, please go ahead.
Thank you very much to the Development Review Board. My name is Tim Bowen, and I am an Oro Valley resident. And Tracy and her husband were in to see us in the Historic Preservation Commission last November 4th. I think they made a very compelling case to us. And what I would like to do now is I'd like to read a letter that I sent to Tracy last November 27th, which describes my thoughts at that time in reviewing this case. Tracy, thank you for the detailed presentation you and your husband provided to our commission on Monday, November 4th. I appreciate how you shared the various options that you and your husband considered. Also, it is helpful to know the extent of the variance being requested via the pictorials you provided, which helped us to better understand this request. I would hope all applicants in your position were willing to take the time and make the effort to allow both the Historical Preservation Commission and the Board of Adjustment such a detailed application for us to deliberate upon. With the carport needing replacement, I think the option you are proposing is well matched to the main structure, but will not compromise the main structure in any way. In my view, it is the main structure that is of significance, and the carport you seek to upgrade to an enclosed garage is not a key feature of the overall Thomas Gist design. For me, as a member of the Historic Preservation Commission, the 5-foot variance on a quiet street is a topic entirely local to you and your neighbors. In terms of supporting the goal to continue to provide this home as a great candidate for our local Oro Valley Historical Registry, even after this construction would be completed, your request has my full support. Best regards, Timothy Bowen, Oro Valley Historic Preservation Commission. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Bowen. Is there anyone else? Mr. Spaeth, have you?
Yes, Chair Dankworth, we found the gentleman who submitted his blue card earlier. His phone number ends in 9497, and his hand is raised. I'm going to go ahead and unmute him now.
Thank you.
Mr. Davies, please go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Okay. Yes, I'm Brian Davies, an Oro Valley resident, 20 years. I just wanted to read, I actually sent in a PDF presentation yesterday. Hopefully you got to review that. But here, I'll reiterate it. As the only residential property owner that shares a property borderline with the Alexanders in question, I feel that the impact on the variance and the garage remodel affects my property rights the most. I believe this adds gravity to my concerns. After reviewing the staff recommendations and outline, I agree with some of the findings and I disagree with others. With the granting criteria being meeting all 5 of the findings, I would like to comment on each individually. The first one, point one, circumstances and conditions. Though the staff could not find any special circumstances, I must disagree. In fact, there are a few special circumstances with this property. The property, for one thing, is not rectangular like most of the other properties in the neighborhood. So the shape of this property is very unique. The main point that it has on the variant side, on the street side, point to point, has the road, they're on the outside radius of the circle of the road. If the road was slightly straighter, we wouldn't be talking about this variance problem. And it's only 2.5 feet. So I think really it's so minimal that granting this under as a special circumstance seems reasonable to me. The other thing about their property, as Tracy mentioned before, it is bordered on 2 sides by the golf course. That's like a double whammy restriction, and they've had to deal with that. Also, there's several trees on the property that have been there since before the house was ever built. So I think the property, according to shape and the surroundings, does qualify under special circumstances. On point two, that was not met because point one was not met. But as Tracy said, on point two, they're recent owners of the house, and they really were not involved in creating special circumstances on the house. So I feel that that should also be granted. On point three, the variance necessary for preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights, that was not met. But the proposed location and size of the new garage is the logical choice. It does maintain the general position and aesthetic of the historic home. A garage in any other area, as Tracy mentioned, just doesn't make sense, and the Homeowners Association did not like that. There is a bosque of gorgeous trees in between our two houses, and that all needs to be considered and preserved too. Moving the garage behind the home would devalue both our properties. The owners, Tracy and Gene, have recently built a work storage shed in between our properties. The shed acts as a 9-foot wall and is now the main view when entering my driveway. I have discussed removing the shed with them for this reason. And because it was built with less than the normal 20-foot Oro Valley Association setback, it detracts from the architectural aesthetic of both of our houses. And it also is right in the middle of the riparian tree-lined bosque. I have been told that if the garage can be completed, the shed removal is possible. Now, I just recently had the surveyor check the actual pinpoints, and what we found is that on the front of the shed, it's only 12.7 feet from, or 12 feet 7 inches from the front part. The back is 15, which is under Oro Valley regulations. That's fine, but it doesn't comply with the Oro Valley Homeowners Association CCNRs. Now, the Alexanders did tell me that they got clearance on that, but I never was notified like they normally require in this type of a thing. I got back from a trip and the shed was pretty much done. So on point three, I'm hoping that therefore, to preserve the enjoyment of my substantial property rights, I recommend that point three will be satisfied with a new garage, giving them the room that they need, and the removal of the shed. Now, on point four, that was already granted conditionally if they put vegetative screening in front, so I don't really need to address that. And on point five, that was also granted because it will... The being in the same footprint as the carport, it's really the best situation for everyone. It's not going to change anything, and it's going to actually look beautiful and increase the value of both of our houses. So as long as my concerns are accounted for, I'll support the variance request, and I hope it all works out for everyone. That's ends my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Davies. Mr. Spaeth, is there anyone else who wishes to speak?
Yes, Chair Dankworth. We have Alexis Patterson's hand up, and then next is Hillary Backlund. So, Ms. Patterson, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to provide some perspective.
I'm sorry, we can't hear her very well.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Not
Ms.
very
Patterson,
well.
Is there any chance you could speak up a little bit?
Okay. So I just wanted to provide some perspective from the Architectural Review Committee. I am the chair of the Architectural Review Committee for Oro Valley Country Club. As Mr. Davies also said, this lot is bound by two 50-foot setbacks because it backs up to the golf course. We reviewed the plan, and we felt that with the 5-foot setback variance on the side property and the very minimal one at the front, it was the best possible option. We are an older community. We have a lot of homes right now that were built in the 60s and 70s that are being submitted to be remodeled. With that, we get a lot of setback variance requests. The plan that they came forward, we are confident, was well-researched, keeps with the integrity of the home, and as Tracy said, we are excited about the possibility of having a historic home, a Thomas Gist, here in Oro Valley Country Club. Alternate plan was submitted to us to look at to move the structure to the, I believe, the east side. That would have butted into the setback close to 20 or more feet. The other problem with that we saw was, as you all are aware with Oro Valley and golf courses right now, we are concerned with preserving the integrity of the golf course and supporting it. That location is directly next to the tee boxes, which we felt would adversely affect not only their property, but also any person utilizing the course to have a driveway literally right next to the tee box. The back of the property would also have the same situation. You would have to drive right along the edge of the tee box in order to access the property from a garage on the backside. Our biggest concern right now is setting a precedent as we move forward with people remodeling these very unique homes in our community. And we don't think the 50-foot encroachment would set a dangerous precedent for the homes that are going to be remodeled in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Patterson.
Mr. Andrews, did you have a comment?
No, I was just trying to get you to turn my mute off, Mike. That's
okay. All right. Got it. Thank you. Sorry about that. And we now have a hand up from Hillary Backlund. Hopefully I didn't butcher that. Sorry if I did. Please make sure you're unmuted on your end and feel free to go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hi there. Nope, you got it right. My name is Hillary Backlund, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. I am also a resident of the Oro Valley Estates, where the subject property is located. In addition, my husband and I own the only other Thomas Gist property in Oro Valley. I wanted to voice my support for the homeowners on Golfview and their quest to obtain a variance from the town. Our home was built in 1969, but renovated so drastically by the previous owners that we are unable to ever qualify for historical designation. I think history is very important to respect. And in the fairly new town of Oro Valley, historical homes should be even more revered. I really applaud the homeowners on West Golfing for not only wanting to preserve the historical aspect of the home, but to go above and beyond to try and ensure it by hiring special architects, researching the guest homes for hours, and going through this laborious and sometimes quite frustrating process to obtain a variance. A couple of things. Discussion point number two, the property, well, quote, property, end quote, is the land, the home, and all other fixed improvements. The land and the home are not separate. So while the land may not have a special circumstance in reference to topography, shape, etc., the historical home and therefore property does. Real property in the state of Arizona is defined as land together with fixtures, improvements, and appurtenances. Land is not delineated from a home in property tax assessments, nor when it is bought and sold. It's all recorded as one entity. One of the reasons I know this is that I'm a local realtor, and I've sold hundreds of homes over the last 12 years in the greater Oro Valley area. I understand that the board may feel there are things that could be done so the owners could build without a variance. However, some of these suggestions would impact not only the historical aspect, but also the functionality and their property value. And therefore, I do not believe that they are viable options. I can attest the suggestion to locate the garage behind the main home and enclosed yard would greatly impact the value of the subject property, obstructing golf course and Catalina Mountain views. Surely anyone on the board familiar with Oro Valley real estate is well aware of the inherent values of views around here. Suggesting that they move the garage to the back would greatly decrease the value and would detrimentally affect the future saleability of this property. In addition, eliminating the functional breezeway and forcing a walk around would not be ideal for use and enjoyment of the property for the current homeowners or the future ones, and would also impact the value. I would implore that the board reconsider the recommendation and allow the variance. We are talking about a 2.5-foot variance. They operated in good faith, followed procedure. They very much want to preserve the historical aspect of their home while being allowed to improve the property for their comfort and general functionality. An enclosed garage is something that among modern day homeowners is a must have, especially in the sometimes brutal Arizona climate, with pack rats, rattlesnakes afoot, and of course our heat. Thank you so much for your time, for all the effort that you've been putting into this, and I'm really hopeful that you will take some of my comments into consideration. I'm done.
Thank you, Ms. Becklin. Mr.
Spade? Chair Dankworth, we do not have any other raised hands.
Okay. That being the case, I am going to close this portion of the meeting and open it up for discussion by members only now. So members, please raise your hand if you wish to be heard. I'll call for a motion later on.
I do not see any raised hands. One sec.
I see a couple, Mike.
Oh, I do now. Yep. Okay. So, Member Roach has his hand up.
Member Roach, please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I feel the homeowner can preserve the historical home and build a garage without infringing on the front setbacks. The alternatives are not our responsibility, but several of them were outlined in the staff's presentation at the beginning of this agenda item. And I'm very comfortable with that analysis.
Do you want to be more specific? Mr. Roach, do you want to be a little bit more specific as to what you think might be an alternative?
I can, but I don't think it's necessary. I think the staff outlined several viable alternatives that the homeowners can decide.
Okay, thank you. Is there another member that wished to speak? Nobody else.
Mr. Perkins has his hand raised, and Chair Dankworth, it's up to you and if Joe would allow us, but I did just get word that we had another citizen who was having trouble accessing the meeting that wants to speak. Would you be comfortable with that? If I know the public hearing is closed, but Mr. Andrews, is that allowable considering the times we're in?
That would be up to the chair, and if the board disagrees, up to a vote of the board.
Okay. Absolutely, we would be willing to listen to that individual.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute the phone number that ends 8340. So, sir, please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
It's Walt.
Yep, Walt, go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay.
Walt, you're on with the Board of Adjustment. Please go ahead.
Okay. It's Wally Vetti. I'm a citizen resident of Oro Valley and actually live across the street from the property in question. And having lived here for over 8 years and lived across the street from over 8 years from that house in question. It's interesting because as I look out my windows to look at the mountains, I look at the house, and above the house is the mountain. I have no problem with the request for variance and the fact that the wall, the partition wall that's currently in place, is going to be the exterior wall of the garage. I believe that's perfectly fine. And I have no concern with it at all.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Member Perkins, did you want to make a comment at this point? Mr. Perkins?
Okay, ready to go. First of all, I have no problems with the staff evaluation of the five criteria. I believe that based on those criteria, the five criteria have not been completely met. I agree with their finding. I am a historical preservation person. I believe Mrs. Anderson, when she and her husband say that Mr. Murto did not bring them an alternative that was both functional and helped them gain SHPO historical preservation. And given the fact that we're talking about 2.5 foot of encroachment, I tend to support the variance.
Okay, is there anybody else who wishes to speak to this? All right, not hearing or seeing from any other member, I'm going to make a few comments at this point. And first of all, Mr. and Mrs. Alexander, I fully appreciate all the work that you have done to present your request. I also fully understand your viewpoint with regard to the house's historical value and that of the various members of the Oro Valley Historical Presentation who supported you and other members of the public. However, it is a sworn task and obligation of this board to uphold state law, and specifically with regard to the five findings of fact, most notably in findings 1 and 2, which refer to topographical site issues. A lot of other things that were touched upon are truly not pertinent. From the state laws aspect, it is my understanding that the historical value is not an issue in a decision that we have to make at this point, nor is the fact that a shed may impact somebody's view or a garage impact somebody's view or that it would affect the resale value. I'm a realist. I certainly understand the validity of all these things, but from the standpoint of state law, please understand that we as a board must adhere to our oath and to an observance of the laws as set forth. All that being said, I strongly encourage the applicants to continue to meet with staff in regard to an amicable disposition of this request. That concludes my remarks, and at this point, one more time, is there any question or comment from a member of the board? May I have a motion, please?
Chair Dankworth, Member Roach has his hand up to make a motion.
Go ahead, Member Roach. Please, go ahead.
Great, somebody to unmute him.
Yep.
I have to unmute myself. It's a two-step process, remember, Air? Thank you. So I move to deny this variance request to reduce the front building setback to 27.5 feet at a property located at 525 West Gulf View Drive based on the finding that the five criteria have not been met.
May I have a second to the motion? May I have a second to the motion?
I do not see any hands up.
Okay, I am assuming that as a member, I may second a motion. Is that correct?
That is correct, Chair Dankworth.
In that instance, I will second the motion for purposes of discussion of the motion. Is there any comment to be made on the motion as presented?
I don't see any hands up, Ms.
Yeah, I think one. Is that Ms. Murphy, do you have a comment? No.
I don't see
you raising your phone. Okay. Well, now, as a matter of mechanics here, Mr. Andrews, and does the motion have to be read again?
No, the motion does not need to be read again. You have a motion, you have a second, you have no comments. Now, it's probably best to have Ms. Ancona do a roll call vote on that motion.
Thank you. Ms. Ancona, would you please call the roll?
Chair Dankworth?
No.
No to the motion?
No, I'm sorry, no to the variance.
So let's get this straight. Let me stop everybody here, Chair Dankworth. The motion is to deny. So you say A or yes or no if okay. You want to deny it. So are you approving the variance or are you approving the motion or denying the motion?
I am approving the motion, aye.
A motion to deny, so it's a yay.
Yes, okay.
Vice Chair Roach?
Yay.
Yay?
Yes.
Yay, yes.
Member Perkins?
No.
Member Barcelo?
No.
And Member Murphy?
Yay.
Okay, motion passes 3-2.
So the variance was denied 3-2.
Thank you very much. And I repeat, I would strongly encourage the applicant to meet with staff and have further discussions on this issue. Thank you all for coming. May I have a motion to close the hearing? May I have a motion to close the meeting?
Member Roach has raised his hand.
Okay, thank you. May I have a second?
And seconded by Member Barcelo.
Okay. Can we have them actually make their motion in second? We didn't hear anything.
I move to close the meeting.
Could we have the second please make a comment about that?
So I second.
Okay, thank you. All in favor, signify aye.
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 Yep, 5-0.
Okay, 5-0. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.